If you believe that God created the heaven and the earth, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that God's love is for everyone, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are a lot of things that we do believe, and they're important. They're very important. A lot of things that some of us don't believe, too. For instance, that flying saucer that's hovering over us even as we speak, in the picture anyway, or the ghost or whatever else was up there on those pictures today, I don't really believe it. I don't believe in flying saucers. I think there are people in other galaxies on other planets and all that stuff, but it's too far for them to come. It's not exactly where you just stick out your thumb and hitch your ride over to the next planet or something like that. I don't believe in psychics. I don't think that somebody can read my mind or read the future or get vibrations from the other side and all the rest of that business. There's a television show out right now called The Mentalist, and everybody accuses him of being a psychic, and he keeps saying he's not. What he is he has got an incredible ability to read people's faces and bodies, and he understands what they're thinking even if they don't know what they're thinking. That is maybe that kind of psychic I can buy, but that's just an ability to read somebody's. Also, don't believe in levitation. Now, you've seen it. You've seen people, the woman comes in and lays down on the platform, and the magician comes along and waves a magic wand, and she lifts off the bear. You know what I'm talking about? And then he takes a big ring and moves it over to prove she's not being suspended somehow. How do they do that? I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but I do know that it's a trick. It's not real. I do know that. And so, you know, I really don't believe in levitation. I don't believe in ghosts and goblins. How can something that is so ephemeral that can pass right through walls, how can it pick up a chain and rattle it, or a knife and threaten you with it, or an axe or whatever else it is that ghosts like to threaten people with? How can they do one and not the other? It's ridiculous to think about terms of ghosts like that. There are a lot of things in this world that we don't believe. There are a lot of things in this world that are incredible, that would be almost easy to not believe, but in fact, they're true. A young man by the name of Max Hoffman was 5 years old when he contracted cholera. 3 days later, he was declared dead. The night that they buried him, his mother had a dream that he rolled over in his tomb, in his coffin. She got up immediately and demanded from her husband that he go and open the grave and get her son out. But he told her it was just a dream and she shouldn't worry about it and go back to sleep and relax and all those other things you say to people who are distraught. But the next night she had exactly the same dream, that her son rolled over in his coffin. This time she would not be denied, and so finally, in order to put her at peace, her husband and a couple friends dug the grave up and got the coffin and pulled it out. When they opened the lid, the boy was laying on his side. They looked for signs of life and couldn't find any. They got a doctor and he inspected the young man and found very faint signs of life. And so they began to work with him and to do what they could to revive him. And the next day he woke up and he lived until he was 80 years old. Incredible stuff, but it's true. Several years ago, there was on Good Morning America a conjoined twins. I'm not sure how you talk about conjoined twins. They were joined at the waist, two heads, Abigail and Brittany. Two heads, two arms, two legs, two wonderful spirits. You almost feel sorry for them, for their situation in life, until you listen to them and understand what's going on in their lives. All kinds of very strange stuff. Do you believe this kind of stuff? In the scripture lesson this morning from John, Jesus has left the Jerusalem area because the Jews are threatening to stone him, and it's not his hour. He's going to die. He knows he's going to die, but not now. This is the wrong timing. And so he leaves. And where he is, it doesn't really say, but it's probably somewhere across the Jordan. He's there and he's teaching and he's preaching and being with his disciples. And they get word to him that Lazarus is sick. Now, it probably took a couple days to get to him, a couple days to get back. So Lazarus is sick. Now, Jesus could have done a lot of things. He could have gone and been with the sisters. You know, they were friends. They were people that he knew. He could have gone and comforted the sisters. Or he could have just gone and been with Lazarus in his final days and, consoled the sisters and been with Lazarus to give him some strength. He could have done all of that. He could have healed him. After all, he had done that for others, so why not for a good friend? I don't think nepotism really counts here, or keeping it in the family and all that business. So he could have done that. But instead, he does nothing. He stays where he is. And he says it's because they want to see God's power. He wants the disciples and the people to see God's power. And so that the disciples could believe in him. Now what he's saying here also is that it's not hard to allow someone to die if you know that death is not the end. Well, Jesus finally says it's time to go, and they walk back to Jerusalem, even though they may be facing those stones yet again. And it gets to Bethany, or just on the outskirts of Bethany, and Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, in the Jewish way of thinking, the spirit stays with the body about 3 days. It's sort of a hovering over the spirit hovers over the body, and maybe if the right situation happens, the spirit will reanimate the body. Maybe. But this is 4 days. This is past 3 days. Lazarus is not just dead, that his spirit's gone. There's nothing left. There's no hope. In fact, he's been in the tomb for 4 days, and so long now that his body is starting to decompose, and there might be a stink. Martha comes out to see Jesus when he's on the outskirts of town. And there on the outskirts of town, she comes to him and says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would be alive." Now, I see this myself as a statement of faith. She believed that Jesus Christ would be able to bring him back to life. And I believe it because the next thing she says is, "Nevertheless." In other words, despite the fact that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, despite the fact that he died and is wrapped in clothes and hidden behind that wall, beside the fact that he is disintegrating and stinking, nevertheless, whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She had faith that Jesus Christ could make a difference in this situation. Now Mary, when she comes out, Martha goes back and gets her. When Mary comes out, she says almost the same thing. Now, my translation said, "Lord, if only you had been here, he would be alive." I see this as anguish and pain and sorrow. Not a statement of faith, but a statement of tears and grief. She didn't have that same faith in Jesus Christ. She didn't believe the way her sister Martha did. Jesus then comes before them both. And she says, Jesus says to Martha, he says that with a sense of assurance that Lazarus is going to arise. Martha is willing to buy that. She understands that. She agrees with it. She believes that it's true. And it's something that will happen in the day of the resurrection, on that great day when all shall arise. She knows that her brother Lazarus will arise too. She's confident in that. She understands that that is a possibility. But Jesus basically says, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. You see, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me shall never die." He's saying it's not some future event. It's not something that will happen someday. It's something right now. I am the resurrection. Do you believe this? Do you believe this stuff? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection? That through him we will be raised to live in heaven with him? and that we will see God face to face? Do you believe that He is the life, the abundant life, shaken down, mounded up, poured over, pressed down, full of grace and peace? Do you believe that anyone, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, not everyone who believes and has been baptized the way you have been baptized, or takes communion the way you take communion, or goes to the church you go to, but everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, everyone is a child of God, loved by God, and God will watch over them. Do you believe? Do you believe that we will never die? We're going to die. We're going to die because we're physical. We're human beings. We've got flesh and blood. We're dust. And from dust we come, and to dust we'll go. We're going to die, but we'll never die. Not where it matters. Not in heaven. We will know Jesus Christ as Lord. Those who know Jesus Christ as Lord know that they will be saved, and they will never die, but have eternal life. Do you believe this? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord? This is what Christianity is all about. Being obedient to God's word and the leading of Jesus Christ. Even though we cannot prove, even though we have never seen it for ourselves, to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, we can't prove it, can we? The best we can do is rely on the few facts that we have. Observe faith and belief in other people and see how it changes and deals with their life, and experience for ourselves. That's all we have. But if we've got that, then we have faith. Faith is the core of what it means to be a Christian. Faith believes in Jesus Christ, who was born and lived and died, that we can be forgiven of our sins, and that we have the promise of eternal life, and so can live forever and ever. Now, if you believe it, what do you do? Well, one thing, you affirm it. Validate it. Live it. Live it as if it was, in fact, true. Live it with strength and courage. Sort of like that saying, if you're happy, tell your face. You know, live it. Live as if you believe that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. Respond to His gift with your gift. Gift of courage and compassion and caring, of being willing to follow His word and His will and His direction for your life. If you believe these things, then show it. Show it in your face. Show it in your life. Show it in your body. Show it in everything you say and do. Allow the Spirit of God to so well up within you that everything you are and everything you say proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, so that the whole world can see it in you and understand that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so entice them, so involve them, so fill them with a sense of hope that they're going to want to have a piece of this Jesus too. And they're going to want to follow Him. If you believe this, then we need to share it. Despite what some books have to say, Christianity is not a secret society. There are no passwords, no handshakes, no secret signs. Christianity, the love of Jesus Christ, is for everybody. All people everywhere will receive the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Share it. Share it with those who don't know. Share it with your friends. Share it with those who think they know, but they've turned their back. And you turn the back on the same God that they have turned away from, because that's not the God that we worship. That's not the God we are. You'd have to talk to them, though. You have to know where they are. You have to understand what's going on in their lives in order to be able to deal. If you believe. Now, what happens if you don't believe? Or if you don't know what you believe? Well, then I would suggest that it's not too late. It's never too late, in fact. What's happened, of course, is that you've missed out on a lifetime of knowing God, of that abundant life that He wants to give each and every one of us. But it's there waiting for you. And there are people, and there are classes, and there are pastors who will sit and talk and share with you the good news of Jesus Christ so that you can know that God's love is meant not just for them or somebody else or something else, but for you. And that there's nothing that you can do that makes God turn away from you. And hopefully someday you'll be able to join Martha when she was faced with the worst that the world could do to her and said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Jesus stood before the graves and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. Do you believe this? Say amen. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe this? Say amen. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.